Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Bill Wellington, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to the Augusta Festival Saturday Night Concert 1990. We have a wonderful lineup of music, tunes, and stories for you tonight. And to start off our program, we have a wonderful fiddler who 20 years ago moved to Eastern Kentucky and helped save many fiddle tunes and brought them all out for many of us to play and become part of the repertoire of a lot of people. And he's joined tonight by another musician, a young man whose grandfather came from Eastern Kentucky and played a banjo, Dirk Powell, and also another musician, John Herman, who just happens to be a child of the universe, who's with us here tonight. So here they are, Bruce Green, Dirk Powell, and John Herman.
Play you an old tune from Eastern Kentucky, start out called Cookhouse Joe. Are you ready? Don Petty come out and play the lap dulcimer with us on a piece, and then Molly Tannenbaum's going to join us too. But for now, we're going to play another old mountain piece. And what was the name of it? Little Daisy. Thank you. John and Dirk are going to entertain you with light banter while I retune the fiddle here.
It'd be very light. Non-existent.
Something you have to put up with. Voila. Okay, where were we now?
Hickory Jack.
We were on Hickory Jack. This is another old Kentucky mountain piece, just like the others. Next tune we're going to do is called Pat Him on the Back. And I'll give you a detailed account of this tune while they're getting ready here. We learned this from my good friend Snake Chapman, who has been here at Augusta several years back, and I believe he was going to be here this year and couldn't make it because of some illness in the family. Snake told me he learned this tune from his father, George W. Chapman, and claims his father made it about their hound dog, hence the name Pat Him on the Back. George Chapman was born in the 1860s, so that sets the tune back pretty far for being a made tune even. Oops, something terrible's happened. climate up here. Don Petty out to the stage now to play with us on the next one. Don's a great lap dulcimer player. A lot of you probably heard him during the week here. And we really like to play fiddle tunes together. He really plays them on the dulcimer. We're going to try one called Handsome Julie. That comes from another friend of ours over in Bell County, Kentucky, Estill Bingham. Are we ready? We are ready.
Thank you.
last tune we'd like to do is Buffalo Gals, which maybe a lot of you know. We'd like to have Molly Tannenbaum come out and play banjo with us on this one.
More tuning.
Those of you who were in classes here during the week remember this sort of thing. So you understand. We don't know the usual tuning jokes. Are we ready? Okay, here we go, Buffalo Gals.
Thank you very much.
Well, the music's alive and well. And here at Augusta, we've come to know more and more that at the heart of the experience we all have here is storytelling. We've really had a wonderful summer of storytellers. J.J. Renaud came up from Louisiana and introduced us to storytelling as part of the Cajun culture. Eddie Lenihan was here from Ireland, all the way from Ireland to spend a week here. Bobby McMillan was here week two. Margaret Bennett was here last week in week four. Try to keep all the weeks straight after five. And this week we have a very special guest, a storyteller who Monday night just mesmerized an audience in the chapel, and I think she herself was really surprised at how participatory everything was. I mean, this is vocal week, so everybody came here to sing, and she would say, make a sound of the wind, and whoosh, everybody would just make the sound. And there she was in the center in the round. And I think it really inspired her to do what is really her one of her strongest things, which is to bring the audiences into her stories. And she's been doing this for a long time. The name of her project is For Old Time's Sake. And you could say that's just basically the theme of Augusta here. And she's going to have a new tape coming out this fall called The Voices of the Little People. Please help me bring on Andrina Belcher.
Well, howdy do, and how are you doing? Good. Voices of the Little People. You know, I get started on some kind of thought, and I guess I'm kind of a little bit slow at my thinking, but I stick with it. It takes a long time to think something through. And then you think you've got it through, and then you got to come back and think it through some more. So all week we've been talking about this big and little and growing up and all the stuff from the past and the stories we've been told, the stories which have told us who we are, give us a message, give us these conditions or these boxes. I've talked to a lot of people who said, I'm just now learning to be free, learning that I can get big. Well, you see, for a long time now, there have been people who have not appreciated the little people. When our ancestors in the mountains, now they've come from all different kinds of places, but there was a big bunch of them come over from Scotland and Ireland and England. Well, when they're getting ready for whatever reasons, political, starvation, looking for dreams, whatever reasons they're getting ready to leave, they started packing up their big old trunks and their suitcases and all, getting ready to get on them big boats, had them white sheets on it, you know, them sails, come across the water to this new piece of land, start all over again. It was the little people who'd always been around in their villages helping them do things. Now, the little people could play tricks, but the little people could help you out, and they had a place in society. Big people appreciated them. Little people come tugging at their britchy legs, wanting to go to that new world. Well, then big people got to thinking about how tight the space was going to be on them boats. Started shaking their heads, nope, ain't got no room on the boats for none of you little people. Ain't got no room. And them little people was real sly, and like I said, they was tricky. Well, they thought them up a way to get on the boat anyhow. Of course, they could make themselves disappear, be invisible. And what they did was they waited at night, and then people would have their trunks open a little bit, and them little people, they made them up a bunch of little old cakes, and they put all their little luggage in little tiny things. And when everybody was asleep, they burrowed down into the in through the pantaloons and in through the coverlids, down into them suitcases. Of course, they had to drill a few holes in the trunks and stuff for air, burrowed themselves away down in there, hid away. Nobody, none of them big people even know they was in there, honey. They come over to this new land, got off them boats, which one of them made it over here, and when they finally got to wherever they was at to open up them trunks and them suitcases, them little people, poof, 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 popped out and, choom, disappeared. Hightailed it into the woods. People brought over the stories from the old land about how they used to live in trees and come around sometimes. Well, there was this old man, and he told this story. He said, now, here in the mountains, we've always heard about these little people. Well, I'm here to tell you, he says, that it was my grandma's great-great-grandma in these mountains who was the very last person to ever actually see one of them. He said, see, my grandma's great-great-grandma, she was a granny woman. And all around, people know that they could come to her for help when it was time for birthing a baby. Sometimes they give her a chicken, sometimes some garden truck, every now and then a little bit of money. But no matter what they had in exchange, when somebody come, she come to help them. Well, one night she told me, as the story goes, that she was getting ready to go to bed. Oh, it'd been a long day and she was tired, put on her night shift. Went and climb in and pulled the covers up under her chin, laid there and started listening to the rain coming down on the roof way up in the night. Pick, pick, pick. There was a knock on the door. She said, "Law, me, way out here in this time." She couldn't think of no woman she had been seeing, doctoring, you know, that it was time to have a baby, but she went and opened the door, looked around. Didn't see nothing but the rain. So she shut the door, turned around, went back to bed, but before she could get all the way back there, peck, 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 there it was again. So she come, opened the door, started looking around, still didn't see nothing, happened to look down. And there she said, standing right there on the stoop of my door was one of them little fellers. She said, I'd heard tales about them forever, but there sure enough was one. Cute little thing, had a long red beard, had little old green shoes what curled up on the ends, and a little old pointy green hat. She said, I looked and my eyes got big. Said, that little man didn't say a word to me, just motioned for me to come. She said, I looked and thought, no, surely to goodness he's not wanting me to go help him deliver a baby, a little bitty baby. She said, I shook my head, no. She said, looked out, it was pouring the rain. Said, all of a sudden, poof, that little man popped up a little old tiny umbrella and motioned for me again. Held that umbrella up. She said, I couldn't say no. Had never said no to nobody. She said, I throwed my old coat on, got my doctoring bag, what had my ginger and all in it. She said, he motioned again, held that umbrella up for me. She said, I looked at that thing and I thought, how in the world, me with these big old hands and this big old raw bone body, how would I fit under there? She said, he held it up. She said, I took one step, and I don't know now, young'uns, whether I got smaller or it got bigger. But all of a sudden, we was just the same size. That little feller led me through the woods, through the rain. Had a tiny little lantern, she said, all the way through the woods, and nary a drop of rain hit me nowhere. That umbrella covered me good. He come to a big old oak tree, and he stopped. Well, he walked over to what looked like a doorway, and I could see a light coming out from that tree. He motioned again for me to come. She said, I shook my head. No, she said, these big hands, these big feet. He motioned again. She said, I went over and children don't know whether I got or the hole got. But all of a sudden, we was just the same. Oh, she said, I went through that doorway. Oh, and I got in there. She said, I wish you could have seen it. Tiny little old house it was. Little old bitty wood cook stove, table and chairs. There was a rocking chair and over in the corner, in a tiny little bed, like a doll bed, there was that little old woman in that belly all swole up. He motioned for me to come over. She said, I got scared real bad right then, looking at my hands, how big I was in that tiny little thing. I didn't want to squash her. I'd hear good things about them little people. Well, he motioned again. She said, I come over, and I just touched her with one finger. She said, I don't know again what happened, whether I got or she got. But all of a sudden, yeah, we was just the same size. She said, I worked with her to have that little baby, and it was pretty as a baby doll, laid right there on her ma's belly. And when I knowed this both all right, it was time for me to go. Then, she said, that little man, he spoke the very first words to me. He pointed to a table by that little doorway. Your pay is over there. She said, I put my coat on, and I went over to the table, and I looked, and there on that table laid four straws. She said, people paid me in all kinds of ways. Didn't know how I'd use the straws, but I weren't going to say nothing about it. She said, I picked one, two, three, stuck them in my pocket, and thanked him. She said, he walked me to the door, and he laid his hand out in front of him. It was pouring down the rain. But she said something made me know it was okay for me to go out there. She said, I went out with no umbrella, no light. He stayed there in the tree, of course. She said, seems like I floated through the woods. Seems like there was a light right in front of me. All of a sudden, just as quick as you could snap your fingers, there I was, standing right in front of my own cabin door. She said, I went in, took my coat off, laid my bag aside, and laid the straws down on the table by my door. She said, I clumb into bed again. Seems like I was just sleeping good and sound. When I could smell that coffee brewing in my kitchen, you heard some rattling and clanging around. Went in there, and sure enough, my man, he was up fixing breakfast for me and coffee. Oh, me, she said. What a dream I have had. Dreamed a little man come to the door, wanted me to go help him deliver baby. I went out, floated through the air. I went to a tree. There's a little woman. I was out all night, but wasn't that a dream? He said, no, it weren't a dream at all. I'm up here. I figured you'd need some breakfast. I figured you'd be wore out. Seems like you ain't been here very long. Then she remembered the straws, and she ran over to the table there by the door. And instead of three straws, there laid three pieces of gold. Now, they had never had much money, and she showed him the money. He said, now, we can go into town, get you the fabric you've wanted for that dress, get us some supplies. So they ate breakfast, and they got ready, went in with the wagon and the team, went into the general store, and he started talking to the fellers around the store there. She started looking at fabric, turning over the calico prints on the table. Now, you know, some places would have them fabric, the bolts of fabric, up on the wall. And in this old store, it was like that. There's a bunch of them hanging up there. She said, now I was turning over them fabrics on the table, and all of a sudden I heard this, whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop. She said, I turned around, looked up, and there, on the wall, rolling and sliding and measuring off some of that fabric, was that same little man. Whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop. She said, I stopped over there where he was at and looked up at him. Said, what in the world are you a-doing? She said he stopped real still and slid down that fabric, come real close up to my face, looked at me between the eyes. Can you see me? He asked. She said, well, of course I can see you. He said, you'll not see me no more. Slid, she said, right down in my face. Poof, blowed in my face and disappeared. She said, ain't seen none of them since then. And I've heard people tell tales about them. But she said, I'm the last in these mountains to ever see any of the little people. Now this feller, he told that story about his grandma's great-great-grandma. Now we know it's a tradition here to talk about the little people coming out to help or the little people playing pranks. You never do know, do you, when one of them little people might be sitting right next to you. Thank you, everybody. Dia, would you come up here a minute and help me? No. Thank you. If you want to look that story up, now I'm going to tell you. Tommy Bledsoe told me that story. Ron Short told it to him. An old man in Dickinson County told it to him. But, of course, Leonard Roberts was collected in eastern Kentucky, and he has a version of that in a book of his tales. Greasy Beard, Tales from the Cumberland, Sang Branch Settlers. Those are some good ones if you want to read them. I need some finger snaps. Now, the woman who was out in the park today, is she here? The woman with the beautiful earrings who had her tape recorder? Is she here? Woman from Ann Arbor. And what about the woman who's the clown? Are you here? Would you come up here and help me out, please? Now, in the chapel the other night, we sung this little song. Kay, would you and Jenny come and help me, please? Holy cow, she said. Oh, wait, I know, your horse. You need to save your voices. Thank you. What about you two right there on the end? Would you come up, please, right there? Yeah, would you come on up? And then you all. Now, you know this song, a bunch of you do. I told this story last year. I was here at Augusta taking blues guitar. Joan Fenton was trying to teach us the boogie-woogie sort of tune. And I went home, there's a bunch of young'uns in an arts camp. I was teaching storytelling. I was dying to practice my blues guitar and my dobro. Do-do-do-do-do. Bom ba 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 bom. He walked real funny, had a hump on his back. He was red and yellow and purple and green. Funniest looking thing they ever had seen. They called him Worm, said, come on, squirm, you little worm. I'm a caterpillar. There was a caterpillar, and her name was Mary. She looked cross-eyed, her back was hairy. They all said, Mary, you're the ugliest thing. She said, hang on just a minute, till I get me some wings, and I can fly up in the sky, spit in your eye. I'm a caterpillar. Well, one day Jack and one day Mary each found him a cocoon. It was kind of scary. They crawled right in and rested a while. When they woke up, they was dressed in style. They had their wings, their magic things, and they could fly. They were butterflies. Well, this is the end of the caterpillar story. Remember yourself in all your glory. If anybody ever tries to call you a worm, if anybody ever tries to get you to squirm, remember your wings, your magic things, and you can fly. Oh, you can fly. Remember your wings, your magic things, and you can fly. Oh, you can fly. Louder. Remember your wings, your magic things, and you can fly. Oh, you can fly. Sing it with me. Remember your wings, your magic things, and you can fly. Oh, you can fly. Thank you, caterpillars and butterflies. Tiny piece to end up. I've told this year before, but it's kind of fun. About a great big lion decided he was so beautiful he didn't want to go out and get his claws dirty hunting for a meat. No meat under his fingernails. So he decided to lay in the sun. Went down one day, crawled to the watering hole, took him a sip of water, looked down, seed his face, and went, oh, you're so beautiful. So he laid around and laid around, and he got a nice tan. His mane bleached out, and he looked like a foxy lion. He laid around and laid around and thought about how cool and how hip and how great and how on top of it he was, and how he was the king of the jungle. He started getting kind of anorexic. That was the problem. He laid around, and when he wasn't out hunting, he wasn't eating, and all the other animals got sick and tired of this rap about king of the jungle and bring me some supper. They quit hunting for him. He got all scrawny, and then his hair, his mane started falling out. He got weak. He started having visions. His mind got all fuzzy and blurred. One morning he waked up and he knowed if he didn't get something to eat that day, he's gonna starve to death. He crawled real easy like down to the watering hole, took him a drink, looked off in that direction. Way down there was a herd of water buffalo. Took a drink, looked the other direction, way off to itself in the high grass. Was a great old big bull. Something kind of funny about it though. Wobbly, looked sick. Started walking easy through that grass. Got as close as he could. Rawr! Jumped on the pole. Punctured his jugular vein. Well, the bull started running, but got about 300 yards, fell over dead. Oh, the lion was so hungry, he started. He didn't worry about his cuticles. He didn't worry about his fingernails. He didn't worry about his outfit. He ate till he felt so good again. His belly was full. He laid down, took a nap, ate some more. And the more he ate, the clearer his mind got. He felt more like his old self, and he stood up. Thought about what a great thing he had done, killed that huge bull by himself in his weakened condition. Stood up tall and proud, roar! Let out a big old roar of pride. The problem was that day there was a lion hunter out there, heard that roar of pride, sneaked up on the lion, kapow, bang, shot, killed him dead. You know, folks, the moral of this story is, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut.
Andrina Belcher. Yeah.
Well, all of the music and stories and tunes you hear here tonight are being recorded by our wonderful sound man, Flawn Williams. And these recordings will end up in three souvenir tapes that will include the music of weeks 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and then the music of this last week, including this Augusta Festival. And you can order these tapes at the store, which is in the lobby. You can visit during intermission. All of the performers here tonight have tapes and records available for sale, and I know you'll want to look at what's available. And our next performer was born into a musical family in Eastern Kentucky. And she has taken this music